Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome down to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 120, not out. 121, not out.
Yeah.
121?
I'm looking forward to the day where before we start, you quick look at your phone, have a look at last episode, and we'll go, right, that's one today.
Weirdly, actually, I genuinely thought I'd got that correct then. And when I looked at you, you gave me that eye, and I thought, oh, no, I've got it wrong.
I wonder how many listeners we've lost in the past, people putting one on and hearing, oh, I've heard on 20 before, I must be listening to the same one again. And it's new content.
Who knows?
Hashtag blame Rick.
Blame Rick. Well, hopefully we're going to have no mishaps today at all. Action-packed podcast coming your way. Hope everyone is doing well in the world. Hopefully we can share a nice little hour or so of a little bit of chit-chat about golf, maybe. Yes. A little bit of chit-chat about what we've been up to.
Yes. Well, first things first, a little bit of housework. Is that the right word? Housework.
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. That's the, not housework. We're not dusting yet.
1-1. One,
one. Crap. Let's start again. Hopefully exciting news, but some news I wanted to kind of just explain a bit more thoroughly than I have done in the last couple of days on social media. So, obviously, if you're listening, you know that every Tuesday we release a new podcast.
Yes.
You can listen to it. You can watch it. If you have a short attention span, you can watch clips of it on the YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel is the Rick Shields Golf Show. It's not Rick's main YouTube channel.
Yes.
Yes. We sometimes release a little a Friday treat.
Why not?
And the last one was Martin Borgmeyer.
That was a good one.
It was a good one.
He just did long drive. He came eighth, I think. Top eight. So Kyle Berkshire won it.
Yeah, so we've given him a bit of bad vibe.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Spur him on. So that was last Friday just gone. So if you've not listened to that one yet, you've got a little treat for you. We won't always do Friday treats. Just when you're not expecting it, it's just coming out of left field. But the update is we are now going forward going to be releasing the odd kind of bonus clip on YouTube.
I'd almost even call them exclusive
clip.
Yeah,
very exclusive. Two reasons why. Well, one big reason why. The first reason why is sometimes something happens in the week that's very newsworthy, but by the time they then come to the normal podcast, it's a bit gone and a bit old news.
Yeah.
So last week, we did one on this whole Tiger Woods on Phil Mickelson Twitter escapade.
Beef.
And we also did one on the fact that Jason Day had moved to Bridgestone Golf Ball. So we put those online, thankfully done very well on views, but some people, and I get this, who are in the clubhouse, were a little bit disappointed that like, oh, I didn't know this was happening. So it's not that we're taking less from the podcast. It's that we're going to talk about things in the week occasionally that we wouldn't normally talk about in the podcast.
Like, we wouldn't really today be talking about Jason Day signing with Bridgestone.
No.
Because it's kind of happened and we had our talk about it, but we wouldn't have probably brought it up on this podcast anyway.
And certainly the Tiger one. That feels like so old news now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more newsworthy content. If you want to check out everything, you know, if you're in the clubhouse and you're thinking, I feel a bit hard done by here, this is almost the dodgy stuff you get shown at around the back.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that dodgy chef in the club. We've always said we shouldn't have employed that dodgy chef at the
clubhouse. Called Carl, isn't he?
Carl, but is it his real name? He doesn't look like a Carl to me.
He seems to swap jobs every 6 months, suspiciously.
So he'll invite you around the back and go, hey, check out this exclusive content I've got. Never been seen before. So make sure you are subscribed to the second channel. I think we're up to 150,000 subscribers on there. So check it out and do not miss out on any of these exclusive clips coming your way.
And we've had a few people saying, well, you know, I don't watch videos very much. Is it going to affect my clubhouse membership? It's not. To be in the clubhouse, you have to listen to the full episodes. That is how you become a fully fledged member of the clubhouse.
Yes.
So it's just a little bonus treat.
Exactly. I just want to very quickly touch on, well, not even quickly, the fact that our man, our new best friend.
Yes.
Victor Hovland.
Yes.
Almost won this weekend.
So close.
Unbelievable. This was the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. He played incredible golf. The weekend, I've never seen professional golfers on like what looks like a resort golf course struggle so much this weekend. Like some of the scores were absolutely crazy. Under par, anybody even one or two under par was perceived as an incredible score. I've actually played Bay Hill a few years ago, and it was nowhere near as the condition. It wasn't tournament condition when I played it at all. But when you see that tournament, the greens look like glass. The rough is thick and juicy. It's long, and it was windy, and you've got alligators and water. So hard lines, Victor. I'd love to have seen you kind of take victory after obviously coming on the podcast. It's great to see that you've back up to third in the world. But then also, big shout out to Scottie Scheffler.
Killing it.
Like, he's not won forever. Then he goes and wins Waste Management at Phoenix 2 weeks ago, and then goes and wins the Arnold Palmer Invitational, moves up to fifth in the world, and ka-ching, 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 makes some dollar. Because I think the top prize was over $2 million at least.
That is nice, isn't it?
He's doing all right.
It's not bad, that.
He gets a nice little red cardigan, big trophy, and his wife there is on the picture, and she must be thinking, oh yeah, this is, we're going to have a good year, Scotty.
We're going to have a steak tonight if you want.
We're going to have a good year.
It just shows, and it sounds obvious, but when a golfer's hot, they often are hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it must be nice going to tournament thinking, I'm playing well, I'm swinging it good, and then just winning $2 million.
And he didn't do anything ridiculously impressive on the final nine. I think he actually had nine pars in a row. But his putting was absolutely sensational. I mean, on the back nine, he topped a golf shot. Straight out topped it, trying to recover from the trees. Another shot on the 16th, which is the par five, he had this awkward stance and kind of semi-topped it again, but still managed to make par from everywhere. His long putting was exceptional. And like I say, it wasn't Victor's day. He could have held a lot more. He didn't hold much out on the green. I think he went in every single bunker on the golf course this week. But yeah, it was one of those ones where I know we spoke about it on the podcast quite a few times about watching golf now, and it could change. It could be a little bit different. I must admit, I watched it last night, and I think more importantly, because of the connection we've had with Victor recently, like my palms are like sweating watching it. I'm like watching it going, come on, please. But he didn't do it. But
that's the thing. If you have a golfer who's your favourite, or you're kind of cheering for someone, you get behind it so much more, don't you? And yeah. I suppose the more you watch golf, obviously, the more you then develop those kind of relationships, if you like, with the player. You like the player, you like the way they swing, you like what they stand for, and then you start to cheer for them more. Quick question then, very off topic, but this Open now that's coming, who are you going to be cheering for? We've got a few guys that we're kind of, yeah, like, you've got your Brysons, you've got your Victors, you've got your Minwoo Lees.
I think Minwoo Lee and Victor.
Yeah.
To be honest. I feel like Bryson, obviously, it's Bryson, he's going to do incredible, but I feel at the moment that kind of, certainly Minwoo Lee, after playing with him there, in reverse, like, that's where we met him.
That would be sick.
That would be pretty special. It's more, let's be honest, from almost a selfish standpoint. I think sometimes, is this where you form an allegiance with a player? Like, let's say, obviously, we've met a couple of these guys in person. We've not met Victor and Bryson in person as such just yet, but I'm sure we will do this year. But, like, we've met, obviously, Tommy in person, Minwoo Lee, loads of other, like, Sam Horsfield, yep, these guys. Is, when you go to a tournament and you get up close and personal with some of these players, is that where you form these relationships? And it's kind of one-way relationship, because they don't, maybe when you're in a fan, they don't maybe know who you are. But suddenly the way you say to him, oh, great putt, Victor, and he looks up and goes, oh, cheers, pal. Or signs a golf ball for a kid, or do you know what I mean?
100%. I think, obviously, not everybody's fortunate to get to an event. I think that's why social media is helping as well now. But yeah, like, if you go to a tour event and you see Victor sign a ball for either your child or for somebody else, or he just elbows the crowd, that's worth a lot, isn't it?
Powerful, isn't it?
100%. And same now on social media, when people like giving stuff away to the fans, or might do a little video for a fan if somebody requests it for a child or something.
Or even replies to a comment, or likes a comment. Like, it carries a lot of weight. And I think all that added up ends up, it's how you get connected to these players. I think that's why it's so important that so many of them continue to do this and continue to push the brands on social media and interact with fans. Because it does get people on your side, I feel, anyway, 100%. Certainly from the tour level.
Question for you.
Yes.
I don't want the answer yet. I want to mull on this.
Okay.
What's the worst feeling in golf? And the reason I ask. So on Saturday, with no surprise, I went to the driving range. Standard Saturday for me now.
It's good though.
It's becoming, like, I do want to play more golf this year and it will happen. Certainly as the sun's coming out now and getting a bit better weather. But at the moment, I'm really loving the driving range.
I've made myself an awful coffee.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, we ran out of... I've made a contraption. Concoction of things. So we have this like coffee machine in the office and I have these like cappuccino capsules and we ran out of one half of it. So I've kind of made a mocha coffee throffy thing. Mm. It's disgusting. But it's keeping me warm, so I might keep drinking it. Okay. There it goes.
The face you pulled when you had a swig. I thought you were... Right, anyway. So I went to the driving range.
Yes.
Basically just going for the long drive, as always, standard.
Any good?
Not bad. I was leading while I was there, but okay. It was very, very wind into the face, which obviously makes a huge difference. Obviously. I got 277, and it was an absolute beast of a hit as well.
Crazy,
for me.
That,
and then I think later on I looked and some of the guys beat me. So fair play. Well done.
Because like the weekend before, you're 50 yards longer.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good though, because it shows that the wind makes a difference. Yeah. Which, like, obviously with closed day, like on a GC quad, it's good because you can always get the numbers you want to look for. But it makes it more fun, I think, going each week. Anyway, I was warming up and I got my pitch and wedge out. And it was one of my first full swings of the day. And I hit the absolute biggest shank hosel rocket you've ever seen in your entire life.
Wow,
one of those ones that's like, you know, it almost has a good ball flight. It's like you actually catch it with speed at the proper at the hosel. It just shoots up like 90 degrees to the right. And obviously on the driving range, it's not the end of the world. You know, hit another one and forget about it. But I've done that before in comps and I've almost burst into tears. I remember at my old golf course, I was on the 8th hole playing quite well. Par 3, no trouble at all. Just shanked it. One of those ones, you don't even debate looking for it. It's like, that. There's no point looking, that's gone. And I was about 28 at the time, nearly burst out crying. It's just horrendous, isn't it? I hate it. And it made me think, there's actually a lot of, although we all love golf, we all play golf, it's a chance to get out of the house and in the fresh air for 4 hours and exercise and take your mind off things. And it's a great sport. But there's also a lot of times where it's absolutely horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be brutal.
It can be.
Let's be honest right now. And how many times, let's say you went to a golf course, right? Mm-hmm. And 100 people were playing golf that day.
Yes.
And as they arrived, you asked them a question. Are you going to play good or bad today? Right?
Yeah.
And you get an answer, yes or no. Because I think that could be quite mixed.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody's going to say
most
yes.
Most play bloody shite, probably.
They go and play the round. So let's say 5 hours later, they've had some lunch and they're driving back out of the car park. How many people out of that 100, do you honestly think, if you asked them the question, did you play well today? How many of them would answer yes compared to no?
Six say yes.
Six out of 100.
Six out of 100.
Yeah, I would agree. I maybe even think lower.
Maybe.
Maybe even like one or two.
That's why as golfers are a little bit weird, because you very rarely walk away happy. But I did a thing on Twitter, so I put a little tweet out. I went to the car wash after I've been to the driving range.
Nice. And really good Saturday.
It was really good, actually. So exciting, different ways. I just got the £7 car. Well, not inside, just sometimes my car washed inside and out. You have to get out of the car for 10 minutes and sit there. I thought, I don't want that.
No.
I'm sitting in the car. I have a little scroll. I want it sparkly. Very vain. The inside's horrendous, but the outside looks nice. The kind of person I am. Horrible on the inside. Nice exterior.
But you look good.
Yeah. So I did a little tweet and I give people options. But what's the worst feeling in golf? Shank out of bounds.
Okay.
Losing a brand new ball.
Yeah.
And I'm talking first shot with that.
Yeah.
Hitting your ankle with your putter. We've all done.
Oh, ouch.
Or I put other, right?
Okay.
So out of those ones I put, shank OB won with 53%. We had losing a brand new golf ball at 21, and then 19% people said hitting ankle with putter. But this is where the fun starts. I asked people for their other answers. So I want you to rate these out of 10. So 10 is, yeah, that is the worst thing in golf. One's like, that's not even that bad.
Okay.
I think a lot of them are quite high. So the first one is standing on the first tee in a two or a three ball, knowing that the course is clear in front, apart from that one four ball that just teed off, and you know there's no chance of them letting you through.
It's okay.
So what's that?
Five,
okay. This is actually from my friend, Anthony Whelan. Hitting a massive drive on a par four, and then fatting the chip.
Yeah, that's right. That's like a nine.
It is a nine.
That is it.
I bet that's a massive shot you've got in your locker. That.
How many times you've absolutely strike one down the middle of the fairway? Do you remember actually at Old Course that time?
I said yes, I don't actually know which shot you're going to say, but I will know it when you say it.
The first time we played it.
Which hole?
17.
Yes.
Yes,
you did.
Let's just set the scene. That drive is the hardest drive in the whole of the golf course.
So people, I'm sure everybody knows this, but the 17th at the Old Course, you hit over the Old Course Hotel.
Our favourite hotel.
Yes, the Owen Hotel is it you go over. Young Rick Shield stands there.
First time ever playing it. We've got a match on, and you're playing well, and I'm scrapping it like a dog. And I step up
a little
there.
Rottweiler.
I step up there, and I think, come on, this is it. You've always wanted to play this hole. Like this is the road hole.
Yeah.
The first time I've ever played it, the famous hole. And I stand up there, and I blank everything out.
Heart was pounding.
I think right's not a miss I've got. If I'm going to miss, I'm going to miss left.
Which is fine.
Right's not a miss. Step up there and channel my inner Tiger,
yes.
Rory, dun, dun, Bryson.
Dun, dun,
like
dun,
it's
dun.
Like playing the PGA like 95 game, Tiger. And I absolutely button it.
Buttoned.
And it is that, it's like that thump thump you get on PlayStation, thump thump, and it's rocketing over. I even saw a little bit of flame coming off the ball.
Well, there was. I don't know what year it was. It was Tiger Woods 1997 or something, the game. Well, when you used to hit a perfect shot, it went Tiger's shot, and he all went in flames.
I feel like it must be just like... Did he have a game as early as 97?
I think it was very... Wow. We'll try and get a clip on the video bit for people
to
see.
Smash one over the hotel, like... Whoosh!
Yeah,
it, like people in the balcony was like holding on so they wouldn't like get blown away by the
people were stood there with a drink. They just dropped the drink out the hand. They didn't throw it. They just dropped. It was like time stood still. I was like, what the hell was that?
This golf ball rocketed over the exact O of hotel. Like, it was perfect.
It was absolutely spot on.
Wind was hard off the. Can't remember which way the wind
was.
Remember.
The wind maybe was irrelevant for you. She just left. Nailed it.
Walked down there. Cocky boy I was.
Swagger.
I think you'd gone a bit left.
I'd gone
safe,
very left, yeah.
Because you had a good score going,
a bit
safe.
I was
walking round the side of the hotel.
You were doing the Conor McGregor walk, the Vince McMahon billionaire strut.
And I walked down there, and not to my surprise, because I knew where it was.
Yeah.
I walked round the corner, and there perched in the middle of the fairway was my Pro V1.
It was just sat there, just glistening.
130 yards out. Pin was front, kind of middle-ish. You know, I was like, here we go. This is it. Road hole. From this position, I'm not even seeing the bunker, the dangerous 7-foot bunker.
What was weird as well is, you're about 6 foot tall. By the time you got to this golf ball, you were 6 foot five and absolutely shredded.
Easy.
You were just looked different guy.
Oh, women were flocking.
They were. I had to stop these women from getting you.
And then I looked at the road. I was like, I don't see no road.
There was no road.
What road? Why is this hole even called the road hole?
Easy hole?
So I step up there with a little wedge and I'm like, okay, this is it. This is my time. Guy's dead. He's over there somewhere. This is my time to make birdie. Birdie last and we've got a chance of a match here. I step up there and I probably hit it a grand total of 40 yards. I think the divot went further than the ball.
I'm going to think of five words to explain that golf shot. Pathetic, weak, pointless, horrible.
Shameful.
Shameful. Yes, shameful's the one.
I'm shameful now. Like from up here, I was 6 foot five, women flocking. Like everything was in life was good. Next shot, nobody was around.
I was about to resign, actually, and just leave you there.
The weather got worse. I suddenly was 3 foot tall. The women had disappeared. I was a lonely figure.
Yeah. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I take the very short walk to my next shot.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to say it was better, but it wasn't.
I was like, ole, 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 ole. I've won the match.
I think my next shot, my third shot into this phenomenal hole, I still didn't hit the green. I probably hit it maybe 25 yards in front of me.
At this point, I was feeling sorry for you.
I think my next shot, I might have got my putter out. So, yeah, that is what Anthony's just said there is exactly one of the worst situations I
100%.
Think you can get.
Well, I've got a few more yet. I don't even give each one of them their own story like that, but let's just go through a bit quicker.
Yeah, I can give you an example of every one of these.
Paul Dunker said, this is a standard one, but it's so true. Smashing it at the range, striping it, and then get a triple bogey on the first hole.
Yeah, that's
all done that. Tom, I like this one, and it's probably one more for the UK market. The US aren't as big on this, but leaving your battery for your electric trolley at home. I've done that before.
Battery for electric. Oh, yeah, okay.
So you take your electric trolley to the golf course, you've charged the battery overnight, you get there, you've got your bag. It's typically a bigger bag because you have a trolley.
Yeah.
Loads of drinks in your waterproof, snacks, everything.
You're like, is it going to rain? Nah, well, I've got an electric trolley.
I've got everything. I don't
stick my stick two brollies in. Yeah. Why not? I'm not carrying it.
Left your battery at home. That's a nightmare.
You gotta sheepishly go in the pro shop. Excuse me, Mr. Pro. Can I borrow a battery?
Or a pull trolley, worst case.
I've got one of the state of art motor caddies. Yeah. And they go, are we going to do power caddies here, pal? You're like, oh, great.
Christ. James has said, being let through, but then slicing your ball into trees and making the group letting you through wait while you find your golf ball.
Being let through, on paper, as much as you want to be let through, is not a nice place to be, is it?
No, it's terrible.
Like, sometimes you're behind a group and your hands are on your side.
At the watch.
And you're like, come on, lads, hurry up. And then they go, come on through. And you think, oh, I didn't really want to play through.
I want to moan, if anything. I let me in a fat one. This is one from Regan, and it's, have we all done it? Losing your ball when you've hit a good shot.
Oh, yeah.
I've 100% had that before.
Yeah, definitely.
Certainly wet courses around here when you hit your drive down the fairway and then it's plugged and gone. This is a nice one from Kyle. Someone saying nice putt, and then you watch your ball lip out.
It's the worst. I actually honestly believe there is a curse. Like, golf has got a curse. When the ball is going towards the hole and someone says nice putt, the golf gods go, nah.
Not today, mate.
Don't you predict what this golf ball's going to do.
Yeah.
The golf gods go, nah, mate. Nah. I'm gonna make this lip in a big way.
And then your partner looks at you and goes, nice one.
Yeah. You know, the other one, you hit a phenomenal tee shot on a par 5.
Yep.
You hit a phenomenal second shot onto the green.
Yep.
You put it for eagle.
3-putt par.
And it's not you know, two. It's not a big putt.
No.
10-foot. You think, here we go, eagle putt. Uh-huh. This is it. It's going to get my round going. And you leave it a foot short. Right,
oh,
the edge.
Yeah.
Or you ram it past. Never up, never in's a crap line as well, isn't it?
It's got some truth to it, though.
It is very true, but it's like, oh, you've got to hit this one. Don't leave it short. Well, yeah, I know I get that, but either way.
This one was so random, but yeah, I bet everyone's done it. It's probably my favourite. Thinking you found your ball in the trees, but it's just a shell of an old golf ball.
Oh,
how does that even happen? Is it lawnmowers?
It's when they get, like, cut up, innit?
Everyone's done that. You go, oh, there's my ball, and you get this like a random old DDH cover. Great.
Do you know what I used to do as a kid, though? I remember when, like, I was sly.
Well, go on.
Let's say your ball's gone into the trees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drop one.
As a kid, you go in there and you might find a few and you think, oh, yeah, that's a crap pinnacle or whatever. What I used to do, certainly playing in like junior events, I used to put the ball like in a position where it was dead easy to find, so that if another group,
that's horrible.
Another group hit the ball in the tree, they go, I've got it. And they walk up and go, oh, it's not mine.
Is that when you're on it in pen as well?
Wow.
Sorry, Matt. You have to bleep that. Last one is from Chris. Getting an update at 7 o'clock in the morning that the course is closed. If you're, and there's nothing worse. You've worked hard all week. You set your alarm. Get your golf outfit out. And the thing is as well, a lot of blokes will admit this, but they do it. Get your golf clothes out ready the night before.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick what you're going to wear. Most of them clear they don't care, but actually they do. And you clean your clubs. Get up in the morning. And the course is shut.
There's a couple I'm going to just very quickly
have a couple.
Add to this list. And this is my...
This is the official list, by the way.
Well, this is more... This, to be honest, it's a bit more of a bespoke list. This is for when I worked in a pro shop.
Okay.
And people would ring up and they'd go, hiya, Rick. It's John. I'm after a tea time Sunday morning. What's the earliest you've got?
I think I know what you're going to say here.
And I'd go like, all right, not a problem, Mr. John. the earliest on Sunday, because it's a nice day, it's going to be sunny, it's 6:45. Oh!
Not bloody early!
Not that bloody early! And then I'd go, okay, what time would you like? Like 10 o'clock! Well, how is that early?
100%, like,
And then they'll say, all right, I'll say, well, I've got 9:57. No, not going to anything later. I've got 9:18. Oh, not going to anything earlier. For God's sake, no, never yeah. Two times. That's all I've got.
100% used to get that.
Oh, it used to drive me insane. Like,
yes.
I genuinely, one time, I remember one phone call I got. And so the number for the pro shop was different to the hotel. This was when I was at Mere, or not the hotel, like the reception area. And somebody tried to ring the pro shop number, okay, couldn't get through. Bad line or whatever, engaged. I probably had it off the hook. I was like, can't be bothered with these lot. So they rang the main reception.
Yeah.
Then they could transfer to the pro shop, which came through on a different phone. I answered. They go, oh, hi, Rick. I've been trying to ring all morning. Have you moved? Have you changed your location? I'm like, are you actually for real? It's a golf club. How can I like change my location? I don't know if like, I'll tell you one very, very quick story. This is a funny one, right? So I get a phone call, okay.
In the pro shop.
I told you about this one.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Saturday morning, yeah. Okay, get a phone call in the pro shop, right? And there used to be a couple of guys in the pro shop, me and another pro, and maybe even three of us if it was a busy day, okay? One of the members rang me up. Mm-hmm. Hi, Rick. I've got tea time at 9:30, but I'm currently, my car's broke down. I'm just in Knutsford. I'm like, all right, not a problem. Like, anyway that, like, someone can come and pick me up.
Did he smoke 60 sags a day? this guy?
I don't know. So I thought to myself, well, I'd rather be going picking someone up than be sat in the pro shop. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll come pick you up. So I spoke to my pro and said, the head pro, I'm just going to go and pick up, Simon, he was called. I'm going to go and pick up Simon quickly. And he went, yeah, not a problem. Like, don't be long. I said, not a problem. So darted down towards Knutsford. There's only one road towards Knutsford. And the way he told me he'd broken down was near, like, the Range Rover garage. And it sounds a bit posh, that, doesn't it? But near there. So I'm driving down. I'm looking around going, well, I can't see the car anywhere. So I ring up the pro shop going, what car does Simon drive? Oh, he drives a whatever, Bentley or whatever. All right, I can't see it. I don't know where he is. So I end up getting his number, rang the number. Simon, where are you? I'm just a bit further down the road. You'll see me. You can't miss me, right? Drive further down the road. So after about 10 minutes, I'm like, I genuinely can't find him.
Simon?
I'm going to have to go back here. Mm. Like, I'm genuinely going to have to drive back because I can't find him. Yeah. What's the point? I've been out for half an hour now. This should have only taken 10 minutes. I start walking back and I get to the golf club.
Yeah.
And I spot Simon's car.
Ah.
What the hell? So I'm thinking, what? So I walk through the main bit near the restaurant and he's there sat with loads and loads and loads of members. And I'm like, and he all looks around at me and goes, hey, Rick, what's the date?
Oh, no.
I looked at my phone, Saturday the 1st of April.
Ah.
Oh. He had me.
You're done.
I had to clap. Yeah. Just like, you had me. That is one of the best April Fools I've ever had.
But you got half an hour at the shop.
But it was like, I was like stressing. Like,
yeah, I can imagine.
So I was like, where is he? Like, I need to find him because I've come out thinking I'm like super Rick and I'm walking back with no Simon. And he's there, chilling out with the coffee.
Just sounds like Simon, that, doesn't it? Is that what Simon would do? So another, weird trip I had this weekend. So another exciting thing I did on Saturday, actually. I've not told you all about Saturday. So driving range, right, car wash, post office. Where's the post office?
Nice.
And the one near me was shut. So it's one a little bit further down the road.
I'm intrigued to where this is going to go.
Not that exciting yet. But went to the post office, sorted, sent some trainers back, done. Felt good, a little chore, boxed off. But then I thought, I've been to the range to hit balls today, so I'm not going to go to the range again, obviously, but I'm going to nip into Clark's Golf Centre, have a look at the shop. I like going in there occasionally for a bit of a mooch around the shop, and also like looking at the second-hand clubs, just see what's there, exciting, little bits and bats.
Remind me, off-podcast, to talk about Clark's.
Okay, off-podcast? Yeah. Oh, okay, wow.
Sorry, everybody listening.
Sorry!
I saw something this weekend I want to tell you about.
Okay, so first thing I saw was a Vega wedge, £45. That's quite good for a Vega wedge. Anyway, I was in and out, and then probably 10 minutes I was left, walked out. And some fellow's walking in, said, hiya, guy. I went, oh, yeah, I didn't know him, but he was obviously a podcast listener and loved your videos. In fact, no, he was slagging you off. I'm joking.
That's fine.
Nice bloke. And he was telling me how he was going for a fitting. And I said, oh, right, okay. So he was saying that he's currently got a Cobra Speedzone Extreme, 12 degrees, that weirdly won on Twitter off Cobra.
Nice.
And he got it fitted at Clark's. This is about 2 years ago when the driver came out. We went to Clark's and said, look, I've won a driver off Cobra. I'm going to be honest with you. But I want to get my specs so I can order the correct one. And so he said, oh, he paid for fitting, basically. Not a lot, but he paid for fitting, got his ideal specs, ordered the driver off Cobra, got the driver 2 years ago, dead happy. But he's been having lessons with Barry Taylor, and he's improved his delivery, and he's found that this 12-degree driver is spinning up too much, even when he lofts it down. So he was going for a fitting. So he's telling me all about this, and I was actually really intrigued. And he said he was going to try the Ping, he was going to try the new Cobra and the new Callaway. So telling me all about it, and then I said, all right, okay, I'll see you later, and I left. And as sad as it sounds, I was actually thinking, I really want to know what he gets here, because I'm quite intrigued. He tweeted me afterwards.
No way.
So I was like, he said, oh, nice to speak to you before. I said, oh, what did he get? I was actually really keen to know. And he came out with the Ping G425, but LS Tech.
Nice.
Lower spin.
He must have really improved his game.
He gained like 20 yards of carry, and everything was rosy. But the point of the story is, he wasn't fussed on trying the Stealth. I've actually heard, and I'm not 1 second saying the Stealth is a bad driver, it's a very good driver. But I've heard a lot of kind of average golfers saying they haven't gone with the Stealth at all.
Well, it's mad you just say this. A really good friend of mine has literally texted me this morning, hi mate, bought the Stealth and can't get along with it.
Really?
wanting to try a new shaft, blah, blah, blah. What do you think? I'm like, it's mad because you look, like Scott, a daft example again, Scotty Scheffler won with it last night.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad driver. Like, we can't say it's a bad driver. But there are certain characteristics of it that I don't think suit every golfer on the planet. Like, doesn't matter which version, Stealth or Stealth Plus, I feel like, I've been hitting, like, when I've been doing these daft long drives and stuff with you at the driving range, I know when I hit it,
yeah,
it is faster, it's longer than what I currently use, but it's bloody unpredictable. Like, yeah. I find it sometimes unmanageable, really.
It's been a very weird one this year, because this guy that I was speaking to, he said he wasn't a big fan of the looks of Stealth, whereas I actually, when I first saw it, thought that looked different.
So that's it. I think the looks are phenomenal.
I agree.
I honestly do.
I love the story. I love the fact that the best players in the world are using it, or some of the best players in the world are using it. But for me, even when I've tried it, I mean, I'm not hitting the driver great anyway, so I need all the forgiveness I can get. But I honestly think from the testing I've done, I'd say I've hit a good number of shots
a couple hundred with that driver now.
I find it, honestly, so unforgiving. And I've heard from some retailers as well, they're finding the same, that people are coming in dying to try it, which is kudos to TaylorMade. They've done a great job of marketing it. They really have this year. It's been one of the best marketed products I think I've seen for a number of years. But it just doesn't seem to be working for people. From what I've seen, again, I might be talking absolute nonsense. If you're watching this clip or whatever, comment down below if you've tried it and you like it or how you've got on with it. But I honestly, from what I'm seeing, it's so unforgiving. Mm. It's giving me that vibe of the slider, SLDR.
Yeah. It's a good launch monitor driver.
100%.
And is this where maybe people, like even my mate James, who's messaged me, did he go in for a fitting? And in a fitting, you can get it going.
Oh, yeah.
Like in a bay, and that's why I did the video against the Ping G425. Max driver that I currently have in the bag when we did that video at JCB, because I do believe it's got power.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Got speed, but it's just lacking a little bit of consistency and forgiveness, really. I certainly find it is with the Stealth drivers.
Well, one of the things we said, kind of think it was off podcast, was that I thought this year would actually be a good year for Callaway, because even though their driver on paper when we first saw them didn't quite excite us, we knew it performed. Callaway drivers always perform. There's four options this year, so you're gonna get one for every golfer. And with all this hype around TaylorMade and the Stealth, so many people are going, and kind of rightly so, to go and try Stealth. And if you can try one for free, I think you should, why not? But I think a lot of people are going and kind of, oh, it's not actually for me that. Let's try the Callaway. Yeah. Well, let's try the Cobra.
Coming in the side door.
Exactly.
A bit,
so I think Callaway and Cobra this year, and Ping obviously always, are going to pick up some sales actually off the back of how well marketed.
Like Stealth's the bait.
100%.
It's getting people in because people want to hit it.
Yeah.
And then once they've hit it, they might go onto a Ping or a Cobra or a Callaway. What they end up with is obviously going to be unpredictable, down to the individual.
The only one I've not tried... Normally now, brands obviously bring out several drivers, which can be a bit confusing, but equally, it's quite good for the consumer because you should get a head that suits you. Most of them have three or four. Obviously, with Stealth, you've got the Stealth Plus, which is the super low spin one. There's the Stealth kind of standard. And then there's obviously the Type HD. D or HD. Now, that's one I've not tried. Typically, that's more obviously a draw-bias driver.
It's high draw this time.
Unless that's somehow a lot more forgiving, which it might be. I might have to try that one as well. But it doesn't massively feel like they've got that real forgiving option. No. And also, Tubes did a video the other day. I don't know if you saw it. He was going for a new driver. And he put this. He started the video. Is it still for me? I got a really good fitting. And he said, I've got Stealth, I've got Ping, and I've got the new Cobra. I knew which one he was going to be walking out with straight away.
Ping.
100%. And he did. Yeah. Just so forgiving. He got more. I think he got a bit more out of, again, on TaylorMade on good hits.
Because
but for an average
someone
golfer,
like that, who I'm sure he won't mind us saying, struggles with driver a little bit.
100%.
I just can't see a Stealth in his hands. But let's say a Rory.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see a Ping G425 Max in his hands. Like, I do think this year kind of Stealth is up more than ever geared towards like the best of the best players.
I'd agree. And I said earlier on, 100%, I'm keen to hear people's thoughts. If you're watching this clip, let us know below. If you're listening, you want to email us, podcast@rickshields.com. I'd love to get to know a bit more. What's up?
Hold on. Didn't Stealth produce the fastest ever ball speed for a certain company recently? Sorry, I couldn't let it go. So, on a note of what we did at the weekend, I don't know what I did Saturday. Can't remember. Taking the kids to swimming and dancing, all that rubbish. No, it's good. Went to Lytham yesterday.
Yeah, I saw your pictures.
Guaranteed I was going to bump into two or more people that I knew.
Well, I've noticed something about what, I don't know if this is intentional or not, but when you go out on these trips, you've got to have a golf vibe about you.
I only have golf gear, don't I, really?
Yeah. Is that so you can get a few
more? What do you mean? It wasn't that golfy, was it?
It looked like you were in golf shoes.
I was wearing golf shoes. But they're so comfy, guy.
Well, more to come
they're
on
so
that.
They're so comfy.
They are.
My new shoes are so
I'm going to give you a bit of a pass because they are like a trainer style.
And I'm testing them.
And you're testing them. But it's just that Rick
gave me great grip around the beach.
It was what was weird though, he was wearing golf shoes, fine. A golf cover up, fine. Golf hat. It was like you were wearing a glove walking around Lytham. That was a bit weird.
I didn't. I had a coat on, which I've never played golf in, but it is a golf coat.
Yeah, but that's...
I've never played golf in. And I had a woolly hat, which I never wear woolly hats.
No, on a serious note, I'm kind of pulling your leg. But it does. It is kind of testament to golf clubs, how they are. Nobody walking past that didn't know you would think, that guy's in golf gear, would they?
No, I love...
Golf gear's getting
walking
better.
Walking around somewhere like Lytham and spotting the golf gear.
100%. I saw a guy say with a Titleist hat on.
I saw a Titleist hat. Yeah. I saw a Titleist hat. I saw... there was one guy in the queue. Oh, guy in the ice cream queue, Galvin Green, like waterproof
He's
jacket on. I was like... Well, nobody's wearing Galvin Green for anything else, are they? Lindenberg's a bit of a different one because you get Lindenberg in all different walks of life, like skiing and all this and that and the other. But if you see somebody in a Ping, and like even the school run, if it's raining on the school run, you spot either the golfers or the golfers in the family.
Yeah.
And there's a brolly at the front door and suddenly they're holding up like a Ping brolly or like a Slazenger brolly or something.
I like it when it's actually got the model club on it as well. So you no longer had the umbrella. For example, it's like a Ping G2 umbrella. They've had that a while.
It's gone that a bit now, hasn't it though?
Yeah, it has.
I'm sure back in the day, God, what brand was it now? I had a golf ball umbrella. So like you put it up and it was like dimple effect. Oh, what brand was it? It was really cool. I can't remember what it was now. Anyway, long story short, I've been to Lytham so many times and always think to myself, 100%, I'm going to bump into...
James Robinson.
Almost.
Dan Webster.
Yeah. Never do. This time I did.
Oh, great.
I was in the ice cream queue and bumped into
Dan Webster. Did he have a bit of a golf vibe on as well? I feel like he might have done.
He had a Lindenberg jacket on, actually. What else was he wearing? I think he might have had golf shoes on as well. But what was really funny...
Hashtag golf dads.
So, yeah, we're there chatting and the kids are playing football. We're near Fairhaven Lake. You ever been there?
No.
It's lovely. Weird. So Fairhaven Lake, there's like this lovely little boathouse-esque kind of restaurant right on the water's edge. It's lovely, really nice place for food. This is not a sponsored shout.
If you do want to sponsor us though, Fairhaven Lake, podcast@rickshields.com.
That building used to be a clubhouse to a golf course.
Oh wow.
So back in the day, many, many moons ago, I think it was 1835 or something, around Fame Lake, there used to be a golf course that kind of sweep round. And when you look at it, you're like, wow, this would be an amazing golf course. But that was the clubhouse.
That's sick.
Anyway, we got chatting. It was funny because he said, oh yeah, I said, he had a busy day. He's like, yeah, I wasn't working today, but I did a 100 kilometre bike ride.
Oh my word. Oh God. Outrageous. So
he walked off and I actually did a little bit of exercise yesterday and my wife nudged me and went, why didn't you tell him about your run? I said, I did 5K. He's there going over for an ice cream and I'm thinking, I'm not going to have an ice cream.
He's earned the ice cream.
Exactly, he said that. I didn't earn an ice cream for a 5K run. But we had a good time and then went to Pizza Express for tea. Goes against what I've just said. But to be honest, we walked from Lydon down to Faven Lake with the kids. I'm carrying them, scootering, bloody all this jazz.
And your golf clubs on your back.
Is that the one that gave it away?
It was.
Honestly, the amount of times we looked on Rightmove yesterday, though.
Really, that move?
I want to live in Lydon, nice. But I don't know how.
Just buy a house and move?
There isn't any. And then walked all the way back, did 17,000 steps.
Wow.
Then went Pizza Express, and then sat in Pizza Express. Who walked in through the door?
James Robinson.
Nope.
Dan Webster.
Nope.
Ali Taylor.
Johnny Moss.
Johnny Moss, nice.
Yeah, that would have been long guessing. Johnny came in, so...
Johnny works at Lytham, St. Anne's Old Links, doesn't he?
So yeah, came in, had a little natter, so it was lovely.
Great.
Anyway, that was my Sunday.
Perfect. Speaking of... That does not make... I was going to try and say this.
Speaking of Lytham, speaking of Johnny Moss,
I was going to go, speaking of Sundays, you've got some beef. It doesn't remote... Actually, it would work. Some beef and roast potatoes. That was nice.
Oh, who have I got beef with now?
No, it's actually something.
I don't want it anymore.
No, it's not beef. It's a comment we've had in our Facebook group by a podcast listener, I imagine, because they're part of the Facebook group. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, join. Search on Facebook for Rick Shields Golf Show Podcast and join. And it's kind of...
If I want to live in Lytham, we need to put an entry fee on that joining. Yeah, well, okay. £10, please.
It's a negative one, but I want to answer it. And it's not too... You'll see what I'm getting at. So it's from David. And somebody... It was a post about something random, but he put on, Rick's main channel is surprisingly quiet. I think he's focusing too much on the podcast. I miss all the product reviews and course vlogs. I love Brick 75. I know it's all supposed to be coming back soon, but the channel's falling way back on my subscription favourites, even though I've watched every video since 2020. So... Basically, David wants more content. Now, somebody commented back on behalf of
Don't
us.
We all?
Basically, David and other people that are listening who are watching, who love the main channel, and thankfully so many people do, and it's still obviously so important, clearly. It's just been the weather, and it's literally been as simple as that. We haven't filmed on the golf course that much yet. We've got some in the bank, which is good, because the weather's been terrible.
When we film the podcast, it doesn't matter if it's raining, snowy, windy. What doesn't matter what's going outside, this room is this room always. So we've not been focusing more on the podcast. We do podcast, and if we're not filming because it's tipping it down outside, we might as well do more bits on the podcast.
Exactly.
But yeah, the weather's been really bad. We've also invested in some new equipment recently, which we have had a few little teething issues with, without kind of dropping anyone in it. This is not Matt this time. But we went filming the other day for a full day on one of the only days it's been sunny for a long time, and we had a slight technical difficulty with the cameras. So that's resolved now. We've got some really exciting trips. Even this week, we've got a really exciting trip. March, when daffodils are out, we start making more golf content.
Yes.
And it'll be coming soon. We've got Break 75 Season 2 starting incredibly soon. Probably going to be hitting a screen near you start of April. I've also got some other bits of content that I'd like to be filming as well. In fact, the little kind of video that's going to go out this week, maybe Wednesday, is going to give a lot more people an insight to what's actually happening this year. A lot of the time, kind of January through to March, it's very equipment heavy, which you've seen a lot of driver testing, et cetera, et cetera. From kind of March all the way through the end of season now, we're going to see more coaching videos, more on-course more coaching videos, more matches, challenges. Normal service, if not better, is going to resume very, very soon.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the thing from the outside. It's fine that obviously the audience don't need to kind of know all this really, but this is why the podcast is great. We can tell them. It's not that for 1 second... We're prioritising the podcast. It's just that this is so easy to do.
I actually, honestly, feel like we're working harder than ever before at the moment.
Yeah, it's just...
Coming out with less
It really is.
Just at the moment.
It's frustrating, but obviously, it's like when you play golf yourselves. Obviously, the worse the weather is, the less golf you can play. But for us, it's not even about the weather and you wanting to play in the rain or whatever. It's the fact we can't film in the rain. The courses might be short, they might not look great, and a lot going on. But thankfully, that is about to change. So I just wanted to address that, because it wasn't like a horrible negative... It was just kind of more of an inquisitive one. It was obviously from a real fan, so I thought I'd just touch on
what
that.
What was he called again? David?
David.
Thanks, David.
That didn't sound sincere, that.
Thanks, David.
Through gritted teeth.
No, thanks. I can't say it genuinely. Thanks, David. I really appreciate, mate, you... try again. Thanks, David. I really appreciate your comments, even though it's made me feel a little bit worse. But motivated. Do you know what's mad?
Go on.
I've drank that coffee.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, I've not, I don't...
You're going to run to the toilet in a minute.
I didn't mind it, but...
I've also asked on Facebook for loads of questions, and we have, as always, got loads of questions. Rick, when this is from Mike. When are you going to actually finally play Peter Finch? It's going to happen in September, October.
2024.
Ooh.
No, I'm joking. Soon. Pete's injured, so I need to play him quick while he's injured. But soon, yeah. Not sure when.
David has said, David Creasy, what items have you tested and been the most surprised with, and which have been the most disappointed? Let's not use like illegal golf clubs or whatever, like genuine kind
of... The most surprised, genuinely, is the ball video that's coming out this week.
Yeah, okay.
And also the Max Fly butthole.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was... Both golf balls have been really good.
I think Kirkland have been good as well.
Kirkland. Like a lot of golf ball stuff I've been really impressed with this year. What have I been disappointed about? I still think with all the hype, I'm still a little bit disappointed with Stealth. I know we've just touched on it, but still just like, it's a shame it didn't just unlock that next level. It kind of matched a level, just using a different material.
Yeah. I was going to answer a question that's a very weird one, the one I was looking at. Another one is Break 75 coming back.
Very soon.
Very soon, and hopefully bigger.
Big.
And better.
Yeah. You'll enjoy it.
It's a weird one. We touched on graphite the other day, but somebody said, should more beginners be using steel shafts in the driver? I would say definitely not. They're heavier, harder to swing, probably a little bit less forgiving as well, because you're not going to strike in the middle quite as much, I wouldn't imagine.
Harder to get hold of.
Yeah, harder to get hold of. Sorry, I should have probably had these planned. I never do with the face. I like to kind of keep it quite raw, but I have also actually got a dear Rick. We've not done one for a while.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Since actually last episode when we mentioned the podcast email address, we've actually had a lot more genuine emails, which is great. So if you want to send anything in, feel free. Again, it's podcast@rickshields.com. I feel like I say it a hell of a lot, but people often ask what the email is. I think a lot of people spell your name wrong as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's from Anonymous. So he looks for podcasts, etc., which is great. Thanks so much. I started playing golf in September 2020 and immediately got hooked. I was at the range consistently trying to learn how to swing decently. After about a year, I was shooting mid-90s, but it's only a short golf course. And then I got 5 lessons from 2 different instructors to try and understand my golf swing better and to get a bit more distance. I was only hitting my 7 930 yards. Both instructors were not the best, and one would constantly show up late and still cut off the time for the lessons, so we'd get there at 1:10 rather than 1:00 and still cut lesson off at 1:30, whatever. Both instructors were not the best. Oh, sorry, I've just read that bit out. I want to continue to improve, but these lessons are expensive. Where I live, the cheapest one is $75 for half an hour. I also feel like watching golf YouTube can get confusing because there's so much information out there, which, again, kind of do understand. It's hard to decipher which is best without someone telling me what I'm doing wrong and how to fix it. So that is sometimes get out with you. If you're looking for simple tips on YouTube, obviously Rick does some and a lot of other people do as well, but it can be a bit overwhelming. I'm at the point where I want to quit because I feel like I'm regressing. I'm going backwards. I can't improve my distance and I'm stuck. I'm going home now more often than not frustrated rather than enjoying my golf, which is what we talked about earlier on. And I feel like I can't improve on my own without lessons. So what should I do? So I think normally if someone said like they're not getting better, you would say get lessons. Just quickly, Rick, while you're kind of thinking about that, one thing I want to touch on, and this isn't trying to create clicks or be stupid. I don't think lessons are overrated, but I do think that a lot of people think that a lesson is a magic wand. And from my experience of lessons, I've not had loads in my time, but unless it's a fundamental simple change, I think when you have a lesson with a good coach, like obviously you were, and again, my friend Barry Taylor's a very good coach, but you have to be prepared to work on it. It's not as simple as going, I don't think, and you might disagree, you've had obviously hours and hours and hours and days of experience, but often when the coach tells you something, you have to then go and hit a lot of balls to make that worthwhile, don't you?
And you know what's really important there? You've not only got to hit a lot of golf balls, you've got to be very, very diligent with your practice.
Yeah.
Because the amount of time... So going back to your point, sometimes, genuinely, I've been in a lesson situation with a student of mine, and it is almost like a magic wand sometimes in that hour lesson or whatever it may be. Like, you'd have a golfer that was really, really, really struggling to make contact or to get a good shape, and suddenly there's a couple of things that you alter, and like, the difference was night and day. Yeah. Like, for some people, it's like ridiculous, the difference. Like, they've gone in with it with a super, super open club face, and they're struggling to hit the 7-iron 70 yards on a full swing. By making a few changes, strengthen the grip, strengthen the club face position, you get them hitting like 170 yards. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. The biggest challenge for golf coaches, for students, for golfers wanting to get better, is that time between the lessons. Does it get worse? Mm-hmm. Do they practice the wrong things? Have they taken on the wrong information? That's the really delicate situation. Like, you've suddenly kind of just, you've gone in there, and weirdly, a lot of, even bad swings, technically bad swings, practiced a lot of time, become quite, what's the right word? Concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're set in place. And after a lesson, sometimes your job, you've got a big bloody sledgehammer, and you're smashing down this concrete.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly you form in this new kind of pattern, a new learning style, which is what you want to then become concrete. You want to set that in place. But the challenge is, between smashing out the old technique and bringing in the new technique, that golfer goes away and hits balls willy-nilly and thinks they're doing the right things, but they're not.
You know what I've really seen so many times? I've played with people who've said, oh, I had a lesson recently about my grip, let's just say, and they fixed it to this, whatever that might be. But today I'll go back to my old one because I know I'll get me around.
100%. 100%. And even me, like, I'll be stood there, and I know my grip's weak, and I'll be stood there at a driving range or a simulator, and I've strengthened my grip, and I'm working on my club face position, and over time I'm starting to see different shapes. I'm like, oh, I like that. That's controllable. Step me on the first tee when it matters. I go back to my old ways, because it's like, it's trust, isn't it?
But like, when somebody, I know you do get those exceptions where somebody comes, but let's just say, very hard to do this, but if somebody comes for a 1 hour lesson with you to fix something, in reality, how many hours of practice would it then take them to like kind of get that? I know it can vary, but like
it can vary, and I just think it's how well that student understands what you've actually changed after. Yeah. So it's even things like when I was obviously coaching full time, after the lesson, I'd almost quiz the student on what we've done. Like, I don't want the student just to have listened to me for an hour or listened to the coach. We'd write down like two or three really important bullet points, and I would quiz him on it, or quiz him or her. Right, what do we need to do with your grip? Show me. Right, I need to do this with my left hand. I need to do this with my right hand. What's that going to change? Well, it's going to change my club face going back. Why do we need to change your club face going back? So that I don't slice it off to the right.
Yeah.
Brilliant. When we're coming into impact, what do you need to focus on? I need to focus on X, Y, and Z. Why is that? So I can get the center. Like, I'd try and make sure that once that student walked out of my room, my teaching academy at the time, I'd reinforce the things that they've got to change. I'd send them notes. I'd send them a video on what we've changed. And I'd make sure they fully understood what we're trying to do, and and maybe even give that student the insight to go, I'm just going to let you know, for the next couple of practice sessions, it might not be the best in the world, but stick with it.
Yeah.
Like, don't let it, because you've seen what can happen if you do it correctly.
You know what I think's weird from, obviously I'm not a golf coach, but I feel like so much about golf lessons are like technical. Like you said, then club face, grip, this, that, the other. I would love to see an experiment and he couldn't do it, but you get two people, it's the exact same person, it's off 20 handicap, you just clone that person. One of them has lessons for, let's say, 6 weeks, very, like you've said, in a bay, here's your path, here's that, da-da-da. The other person has none of that. They have, like, playing lessons where a coach walks around with them and doesn't necessarily tell them, like, how to hit a shot in terms of, like, technical as such, but more like, right, use your 8-iron and just bump it to that bit of the green. Let's hit this putt. Like, you know, and see who actually improves more.
I think you're right, but I think there's sometimes, honestly, guy, I've had people come into me who literally wouldn't even be able to get to that stage. Like, they there's no level of consistency.
Yeah.
Like, they could be stood there and they'll hit shot 50 yards right, and next one they'll
left.
Yeah. Like, that on the golf course, doesn't matter how much I can tell you, right, let's avoid hitting it right on this shot. They got no control over it. You know, one of my most successful stories ever, I had a student come in, and he was an older gentleman. And weirdly, he didn't play that much out on the golf course. When it was nice weather, he'd go out and play six holes. He was a lovely guy. And when it first started, maybe naively, I kind of maybe went down that route of technical. And this guy's like, he was probably in his 80s, right?
Yeah.
And he's not into all that. He's not into like GC quad numbers and all. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
some people, I'm not saying none of them, but this particular guy wasn't. And it, probably a couple of lessons in, I was thinking, he's not really getting this. He's not really kind of grasping what we're trying to say. So at the time, I had these like impact stickers on the club face because he couldn't find the middle to save his life. So I had these impact tape. So I gave him a massive sheet of it. I said, do me a favor. Every time you go and practice, put one of these stickers on your face. And after you've finished, take it off and put it in like a little book.
Next thing, put it on his forehead.
Put one in a little book and just write next to it, like how many shots was it and how many times did you hit the middle?
Yeah.
And the very first time he did it, the pattern on his club face, on that sticker, was everywhere.
All over the place.
Like literally everywhere, right? So he come in. So what I did then on the next sticker, I drew an area where he's got to hit. Made it smaller. Mm-hmm. Go away and practice. He started hitting closer to the middle. Next time, I hadn't told him anything about that technique. Yeah. Next time we'd do it, you're getting close. And over time, that practice, honestly, strike location, because that's all he was focusing on, became unbelievably better. That's like, ridiculous. And I know when we've been out filming a couple of times, I'm doing a coaching video, and I'm saying, like, this idea of just being aware of strike, he's still the person I go back to. Yeah. So I'm like, he had no idea how he was improving strike, but because that was his only focus.
Yeah.
He improved strikes tremendously. And he went on to hit the ball so much better without any real technical information, just this idea of trying to hit the middle a little bit better.
So I feel that's been a really amazing insight to coaching. I've been pushed down that way as well. Yeah, so basically, well, back to his email, I said, I feel like I'm at the point where I want to quit because I'm regressing. Can't improve distance and I'm stuck. He feels he can't improve without lessons, but the coach is rather expensive and not very good. What should he do? So is it something like that? Is it something like just playing more? Or
I think it's very challenging sometimes when you're looking for a golf coach, because it's ideally you want to be recommended one that has good pedigree, that, you know, that either a friend has used or you've seen good success, or you read online reviews, or maybe you've even watched that person's, if they have got a YouTube channel, maybe you've watched that person's YouTube videos and you can kind of relate to that person. You enjoy how they speak. It might just be worth trying a few more pros. I'm not saying that that's the only route, but obviously it's $75 for half an hour. That's expensive, by the way, isn't it? You know, that you can't try everyone really, but try and find somebody that's got like real strong credibility. The other thing, I wouldn't be too, if you did this, I wouldn't be too bad if you told your next golf coach the bad experiences you've had with the other two. Don't name names, but go in there and just go, let you know, I've had a couple of pros so far. I've not particularly got out of it what I'd like. The first guy kept turning up late and I'm finishing the lesson early.
That is bad.
Because that third pro is not going to do that, is it?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Because he's already said, I don't like to do that. And then the second pro I had just felt like he wasn't giving me the right information. Suddenly you're putting it in the third coach's hands to go, okay, I used to do that all the time. I'm going to change your opinion of golf coaching. Yeah. The other two guys have given my industry a bad name. I'm going to show you that's not the case.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you that actually golf coaching can be really beneficial, can be really fun, can be very time efficient, and can show you how to improve. I wouldn't rule it out just yet. Maybe just try somebody else with some good credibility online.
I've just had an email in literally as you're talking then, and the title has got me, so I've not really vetted it yet.
They've clickbaited you.
No, it's a good... So I want to read it out, but this could be... I don't know where it's going. I tried to quickly read it while you're talking. Obviously, I'm listening to you, so I couldn't massively... But anyway, it says, the title is My Custom Fitting Failed Me. So, hi, Guy and Rick. I've been listening since the start of the year and slowly making my way through the podcast back catalogue. I'm currently on episode 87. With you both talking a lot about custom fitting and whether or not it's best for everyone, I decided to get a free custom fit for driver at a retailer, which I'm not going to just name right now. Well, it's on here, but a bit of a background on my ability, or lack thereof. I'm 28 years old, currently playing off a 30 handicap. Started golf back in January 2021, just over a year ago. Currently playing a Tour Edge Bazooka 12 degree regular shaft driver, which I got as a hand-me-down from a mate, and I was looking for a new driver as I just didn't like the club and had no confidence behind the ball.
A Bazooka?
It's a Tour Edge.
Oh, nice.
Don't know what model that is, but... So, I went along for my fitting. I spent 30 minutes with the fitter who built a 9 degree, but adjusted it to the max loft, and it was a Callaway Rogue driver with a stiff shaft. And it was 1 inch shorter to help counter my 50-yard slice, which was working for me and getting me back online, showing a draw bias. So he's been given a Rogue driver, a bit of a draw bias, shorter shaft, 9 degrees. So on paper, it kind of makes sense, again, if he's slicing one. But the fitter wouldn't sell me the golf club. He point blank said, go to get a few lessons to fix your swing to increase accuracy and confidence that you know your swing, even get your swing better. Then come back and see me and I'll fit you for a driver. With Rick always saying see a fitter you pay for so that you get real good feedback, it would be good to hear both of your thoughts on the retailer being so open and honest about this. I felt this invaluable information for me. I felt this was invaluable information for me and now got a lesson booked in for next week. I was ready to drop over £500 on a driver, mostly because I wanted to shine a new club, but after that I'm holding off. So basically he's praising the retailer.
So it's not really a fail, is it?
No.
As such. I love that as a fitting.
Apparently, it was American Golf, right? So fair play.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of that. Yeah. And I know I understand people are going in there to buy a shiny new toy, as he's done. But the fact that he's gone in there and he's not paid for fitting, has he?
No, he said it was fitting. Free. It was free. But it felt like that. Well, you always say, pay for once you don't get your pants pulled down.
Yeah.
It feels like that experience, even though it was a free one.
Yeah, again, I've mentioned this before. I think getting a paid fitting, you just get a really honest response because the fitter's made his money. Mm. If he sells you a driver, happy days, but he's made his money. So if you walk out there and you're hitting your own driver better, that's absolutely fine. Fair dues. Yeah. I'm really happy about that. It's nice to hear that things like that are happening. It's nice to know that people are going in there and trying these clubs, and it sounds like even the fitting sounds like a good fitting.
Yeah, it does
like
sound
that technical. The fitter's done is would improve him. But I love the fact he said, no, go away and get some lessons, and then if once that's got you better, we'll fit you again.
I think as well in that instance, if there is a severe shot shape like that and he's really building the club to kind of help reduce it, but he can see potential in this lad and he likes his golf, he's going to be playing more and he's going to possibly have lessons in the future, then that driver, although it might be great now, in 6 months or a year, it might kind of outgrow it as such. So it is good advice.
Did you see much of that in your kind of fitting life? And it was different for you because you weren't really selling the product as such, were you?
I mean, you would get some people who would want a driver and the way you would build it would help reduce a bad shot. But equally, I mean, that sounds like a great fitting, but you're never going to get a driver that's going to stop a slice, are you? You might get one that can reduce it. And the beauty of when I was fitting was that there was three different heads and you couldn't move weights, but you just change loft really. So you could build a driver that might help to slightly reduce a slice. But if that golfer then went and got lessons, the driver could then be kind of altered.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things where I know lessons get pushed a lot, and rightly so, but a lot of people don't want to have lessons.
No, I understand that.
In that instance though, if he said he is willing to have lessons and that lad said, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But if a golfer came saying, I want more ball speed, and you could fit a driver that would get them that, then that would kind of work on the day, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you have got a massive shot shape like that, lessons are definitely better.
Yeah, yeah. When it's really severe.
Yeah.
Like, when you talked about the magic wand before, the lesson, even though maybe neither is the perfect magic wand, I feel like lessons has much more of a magical spark about it to help that 50-yard slice. Because the club's just not going to do it.
I suppose in theory with lessons, if you're going to put the work in with the coach, it's almost the improvements are limitless.
Yeah.
You could go from 28 to scratch, potentially, if you spent enough time.
Yeah.
Whereas a golf club is never going to get you out from 28 to scratch, is it?
No. Very good.
Very good.
I felt like a really good podcast.
Wow.
I mean, if we think it's good,
people probably think it's crap.
Imagine that.
That's the way it goes. No, the ones who think are rubbish, people like.
Any more news?
There is other stuff on there, but I think that's it for today.
I think it's perfect.
As I said at the start, there might be some, I don't know if this week there'll be anything out coming on the channel in terms of podcast extra clips. Just one last thing on that, we decided that when you're on the podcast YouTube page, if it's a full podcast, it's got a kind of a red thumbnail. Clips of the same podcast are green, and these kind of standalone separate clips will be yellow. So if you see a yellow one, it's unreleased content. Nice. Hopefully we've explained that well enough. Hope nobody's unhappy about it, but it's just extra stuff for free.
Perfect. Guys, thanks for listening to the Rich Hill Golf Show podcast. We shall see you next week. I'm going to give a little teaser. We might have a huge guest. we'll let you know if that's the case. See you next week.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.